Welcome to Strength for the Journey. Thanks for joining us again. Strength for the Journey is a radio program designed to strengthen the believer for the days that lie ahead. We have a website at strength4thejourney.com, and this is radio program number 102. Tonight I have a very good friend here in Panama. His name is Dr. Daniel Daves. He's been a guest a couple of times before, and I want to have him on the program tonight so we can kind of update his latest ventures and adventures in Panama.
Hey, it's good to be here. Thanks, Andrew.
Great to have you. You know, many that might be listening to this program might not have heard the other previous programs, Daniel, of your experience that kind of was your wake-up call. You were comfortably doing the ministry thing, and you'd been involved with various things. You were pastor in St. Louis, I believe, and you went to Dallas-Fort Worth area, as where I was from as well, for a while. And something kind of happened to you that kind of woke you out of your normal routine.
Boy, it sure did. Yes, it did.
And you had a couple of dreams, actually, that kind of changed your direction.
Yes, and you know, I had been in pastoring for 20 years, but had gone to Dallas, Texas, moving on forward past pastoring and moving on to the mission field. So we were in Dallas, and I was flying out doing missions work and different conferences, leadership conferences for pastors, and just living the dream of my calling. It was wonderful, and I had had some dreams in the past in my ministry years. The Bible does say that young men will see visions and old men will dream dreams. So it dates me when you start having dreams and stop having visions, you know. But I had had a dream that actually moved me to Dallas, Texas, and it was very successful. And I just want to say that for anyone who maybe has had a dream before and they wondered, is this from God, or maybe people who've had many dreams. You know, God he'll give you a dream and then he'll prove it. And it starts building your faith that this is really from God, you know. And I had some dreams in the past that were very much validated, and I very much trusted and knew. When that dream came, I knew it wasn't pizza from the night before. I knew that was God. And so I was living the dream in Dallas, Texas, and getting ready actually to go do a pastor's conference the next morning. And that night, I had a dream that woke me up suddenly. I'm sweating in the bed, and my wife said, What's wrong? You know, and I'm sitting straight up and can't figure out, am I in reality in my bed, or was I in reality where I was in the dream? It was so real. And so I knew it was from God, and I knew I could trust it, because it was exactly like the other dreams. And I don't know how to say it other than you'll just know God will build that into you. And it was very scriptural.
Well, you can go back. We've interviewed a couple times, and you can go back on Strength for the Journey and listen to the dreams, because instead of talking about the dream night, we want to kind of move on to what the dreams kind of evolved into where you are today, that you kind of made you realize it was time to leave the States, and you went to Costa Rica for several years.
Yes.
And then it just was, I guess God just had it. You talked to Rick Wiles, and Rick Wiles mentioned that you should come by Boquete on the way to Panama City when you're coming through.
And I didn't even know what a Boquete was.
And something kind of happened when you came here, and you just kind of felt like the Lord was saying, this is where I want you to be.
Right. Well, the dream had certainly challenged everything that I thought I knew about the future. The dream told me that there was a new future coming. It was a different future than what I thought was going to happen in my typical American viewpoint. And with that, then I knew that I'm always trying to stay ahead of the curve, and I'm always trying to one of the big things, I'm trying to leave an inheritance for my children's children. The Bible says in Proverbs, a good man leaves an inheritance for his children's children. So suddenly, after I had this dream and began to research it and figure out what was really going on, I knew that the inheritance for my children and my grandkids, spiritually and naturally, was going to be very, very limited in a post-dollar collapse America. And so I started looking forward. Well, where can I go to you know, develop my children and find a future for them. And one of my business friends had told me a little bit about Spanish and English, and I had posed the question to him. He's a Fortune 500, a manager of one of the Fortune 500 companies. And I said to him, I said, now, if my daughter, she goes to a four-year business degree, business college, and gets a degree and comes to you for a job, or Jose comes across the river with no degree and no education, but he speaks two languages, who gets the job? And he said, hands down, Jose's got the job. I said, that's not right. That's not fair. And he said, life isn't fair. We need connection. We need languages. And you must know two, preferably three languages in the next 10 years if you want any job of significance. I went, oh, no. My children are sitting in a Dallas school. They've taken Spanish for 3 years and they can't order a taco in Spanish because they don't need it. You know. And I thought, we need to get these children in what's going to be the largest conversational language on the planet in the next few years. It will bypass English, maybe not in business, but in conversational. So we said, you know, we got to get to Latin America. The doors opened in Costa Rica. We've got friends there, and we help them in ministry. So we moved there and started the process.
And, you know, what's interesting is that the Lord spoke to me when I was in the States back in 2012 before we moved here, and he said, your future's not here. And I realized if my future wasn't there, then my children's future wouldn't be there either, because they're like my future.
Yes.
And so it inspired me to make a difficult choice to leave my comfort zone, as I know yours wasn't very easy either. But then once you made that jump and you've made that transition, then you realize, you start seeing the hand of God move where you are and confirming that you made the right choice. But he kind of continually evolves this venture.
A total transformation of the way you think and the way you see things. And we realize once you get out of the, what I call Oz, once you get out of Oz, the rest of the world doesn't operate like Oz. It operates in true finance, and many times it operates in the true kingdom principles. It's easy to live in a nation when you can just print the money you need and live in the system of debt. It's very easy, but you want to live a true life of faith, get out in the real world where you have to make an honest dollar to pay for an honest meal. And that some of the things that I started learning in Latin America was how the real economy works in reality. And as I'm praying and working with the ministries in Latin America, I had a word from the Lord. He spoke to me a couple of things. The first thing he said in Latin America to me was, I want you to build an ark of safety to protect your faith, family, finances, and future. Well, I wrote that down. It was during a worship service in the church that we were going to. And I wrote that down and thought, man, I'm going to have to really study what I just heard, those words. I started studying, and I went back to the ark of Noah and started studying how it was made, the three levels, one door, one window. What was it made out of? What was it covered in? How big was it? What was its purpose? And I realized that God was calling me to begin preparing for a different future, because something was coming that was going to change and alter mankind's course. So I began studying that and working towards a three-pronged or three-level investment strategy for the future, for my children, grandchildren, and I teach that everywhere I go. And so there's three levels in the ark, and I believe we need to have short, medium, and long-term understanding and be moving in all of those realms at the same time for a successful future. As a believer, it's our responsibility to understand these things, and we're the ones that God wants us to be successful, so we can help people on the other side once these things change. So I heard that. I also heard another thing about a year later. The Lord spoke to me once I understood that food was the greatest short-term investment that you could make. Then the Lord spoke to me and said, I want you to seize control of food at the root level. Seize control of food at the root level. Well, I wrote that down. It was during a worship service. And that's where I hear a lot of these things. So I started studying that and came to the conclusion had no idea I'd ever have to do it, but I'm going to have to start farming. I'm going to have to seize control of food at the root level. That means I've got to get some seed in the ground. And so we began looking for farmland. Through many events, we ended up in Panama because and Costa Rica just was not the environment that we needed for what we were planning on doing. So, but then we found you, and we found Boquete, the Chiriqui province, in a 12-month growing environment with the most beautiful, gorgeous dirt on the planet that was spewed out of a volcano 600 years ago. And now we're enjoying it. We can grow a broomstick in the ground and it'll grow. It's amazing. So we're thankful to be here and beginning a prototype farm here.
You know, what's really amazing is that how much experience have you in farming before you came to Central America?
Well, as a teenager, I baled hay. You know, I hauled hay bales and drove a tractor for another farmer, you know.
You know, the point I want to make is that, you know, the Lord will do something different with you when many times when you begin to go and willing to do something different, go someplace different, God's going to do something different in us and through us. And what's really amazing is how I watch the endeavor that you're making right now, because as you begin to describe this this project that you're doing right now, it's massive. I mean, it is just huge.
But, and growing every day so much bigger than I am. Yeah.
But what's really amazing is how God's blessing is all over it. I mean, first of all, the dirt is just some of the most beautiful black dirt I've ever seen. And then you were drilling for water the other day. And up come a bubbling
That's
water.
Right. That's right.
It wasn't a bubbling. It was a gushing.
It sure was. Amazing.
You showed me the video. I mean, the thing looked like it was oil.
It was a geyser.
It was a geyser.
Yeah.
Probably, what, 15, 20 feet up in the air?
Yeah, I think, at least that.
It's crazy.
What happened, Andrew? Of course, you know, these testimonies come, but with perseverance, because we sat here in Panama for over a year, and we had three farm projects sealed, secured, and came right to the closing table, and something either happened, the lawyer got mad, the other guy walked away, something went wrong, and we spent months preparing for a farm, and we're so excited, like, here we go, and then it just fell through, back to the drawing board. And I just told the Lord, you know, God, you've told me to do this, so I'm just going to do this the rest of my life. I'm going to come to, and we're going to come to the closing table, and we're going to lose it. And we're going to do this for the next 40 years if we need to, because that's what you told me to do. And it wasn't easy. And it was a letdown after letdown after letdown. But then all of a sudden, a brother in the Lord, he said, I found your farm. I found it. And sure enough, he found it. He had worked the deal, and he's brought us right under this beautiful piece, and we're so thankful that the others didn't go through now, you know, hindsight. But so here we are on this farm. We're building greenhouses. We're going to build a 1-hectare prototype greenhouse, and we needed to dig a well. We didn't think we needed to for a while.
Explain how big that is. Well, how many square feet?
1-hectare greenhouse is 108,000 square feet, so that's 2.5 acres under plastic. So that's
Explain it one more time. How many square feet under that roof?
108,000 square feet.
108,000 square feet.
Yeah. Or 2.5 acres. So think about 2.5 acres and then one big building sitting on top of that, and that building just happens to be growing
and
food.
And this is your prototype.
Yeah, it's the prototype, and it's big. We're about a third of the way done right now, and every time we put another pole in the ground, I said, oh no, this thing's it's more of a mammoth than I ever dreamed of. And, but we brought the well company out, and the guy found the water. He said, I think water's right here. The way everything looks, this is where you need to drill. So, so I said, well, how much are we going to get? I need a lot of water. And he said, well, we're trying to get you 30 or 35 gallons, but we can't promise anything. And I said, no, I need more than 35. And I just really felt like the Lord told me, no. More, you know, and I just felt that way. So we were joking around with him. He was the head honcho. And I said, well, I'll bet you $1 that we're going to get more than 35 gallons. And he laughed and said, okay, fine. So he pulled his dollar out. I pulled mine out and I said, we're going to get more than 35, you know, and he said, I don't think so, but okay, you know. So sure enough, they're drilling down and the employees are saying, and there's water coming out of the hole while they're drilling, and they're saying, this is not 35 gallons. This is a lot more. And I said, how much, you know? They said, this might be 80 gallons. So we're like, yes, high-fiving each other. 80 gallons. This is awesome. This sounds like God. And no wonder God reserved this property for us. Well, then they did this test and they hit the well thing and it shot this water up like a geyser, like you had seen. All of the guys were there with their hard hats and their clipboards and shaking their heads like, no. And I said, what's this mean? What is it? And the guy said, that's 150 gallons per minute. And he said, it's not possible in this area. We've never, ever hit more than 30 or 35 gallons. And so we got a 150-gallon registered well right here on this property.
It's like 55-degree water coming out of the ground.
Yeah, it's at that geothermal. It's liquid earth cooled, 53.5 degrees or something like that, which speaks to me. I need to be growing trout.
Yeah. Dig a little pond.
Wow. Yeah. Wow.
So it just shows you though, that, you know, you just keep following the Lord's leading and you don't quit. You know, he told you to do something. You just keep doing it because he told you to.
Yes.
And you know, God's looking for overcomers, not for quitters. And this is a part of the process we're all going through, is when we're discouraged and we want to quit, we don't. If the Lord gave us a word, you got to keep marching.
Yes.
And because the blessing is on the other side. It's not, you know, you got to get through the Red Sea. You know, manna doesn't fall until you cross over.
Right.
And I think people's blessing, you know, if anybody listening right now is wondering where your blessing is, it's when you overcome. He that overcomes, all those things were granted, you know,
yes,
in the book of Revelation. And we have something to overcome if we're going to be overcome.
It's not easy. It's not easy. And it's the, you know, life is filled with day by day trials and testings and just got to, you know, pull your big boy pants up and say, I'm going through this thing. I was always known, I was a very misdirected young man in my teen years, but I was always known as the bullheaded boy. My parents, you are so bullheaded. Well, I'm a bulldozer. And God is using that now. You know, just put the blade down and keep going. Just put your head down and say, look, this is where the Lord said go. And until he says stop, we're going to go through whatever we have to go through.
Well, tell a little bit about the purpose of growing this much food. You know,
sure.
The Lord kind of gave you a word that to provide for the future. And it's not just, obviously, you're not just providing for your family. This is
right.
Not like a little backyard garden.
Sure.
So what is the vision? Explain a little bit how the Lord's kind of giving you a vision beyond just your immediate needs and your family.
Yeah. Right. Well, since I was 19, 20 years old, God got a hold of me, and I played guitar and played music, and I ended up down in Mexico and Puerto Rico in 1 year, and I saw children living in tin shacks and dirt floors and rummaging through the trash to find a meal. And that haunted me until I finally said, okay, I'm going to do something about that. I might not be able to do much, but I'm going to do something. And so from those days forward, I've always tried to do something. And that something has grown. God's just built it through the decades to where, and we're still a small organization, but we feed widows and orphans. And the book of James, pure and undefiled religion is to keep yourself unspotted from the world and to feed widows and orphans in their distress. So if you find one that's in distress, it's the best thing you could do to get close to the heart of God is to take care of that widow and orphan. Those are the two children, the two groups of people on the earth that God has made a promise to that we can help fulfill. He said, I will be a father to the fatherless, and I will be a husband to the widow. And if we will help him to get supplies to his wife that he's the husband to, and to his child that he's the father to, he will open the gateway and he will pour out the blessing if he knows you're the conduit to get it. So get it to them. So I've just always done that. Teams, my family, we've all always been involved in just feeding the poor. And our organization, we'd work real hard in the past. Let's say a decade ago, we'd work real hard to try to get a couple semi-truckloads of food per year donated so that we could give them out in a park outreach or something like that. And then we were always raising cash for boots on the ground in Philippines, Africa, Mexico, and trying to help the local grassroots churches to do their feeding projects. And all of a sudden, I'm out here in Latin America, and all of these doors are opening, and there's ability to grow food. Now, 1 hectare of greenhouse, a greenhouse is a perfect Garden of Eden growing environment. It's like it's going back to the Garden of Eden. It's protecting the plant. You literally knock out 90% of the plant's enemies just by covering it with a greenhouse. And what I have found is that a 1 hectare greenhouse will grow, oh, at least 400,000 pounds of peppers or 800,000 pounds of tomatoes. Double that in 1 year, 2.5 acres. You know, I could never do that in my dad's garden when I was a kid that much. But in a greenhouse growing environment, if you'll take care of that plant, it will take care of you. And the yields are just phenomenal. So if I were to grow a hectare of tomatoes, that's 800,000 pounds. That's 20 semi-truckloads a year of tomatoes. When we used to struggle just to find 2 semi-truckloads of various food products to give away to the poor. So here we are now at the root level. We can grow multiplied times more and have full control over it rather than just hoping for a donation from a corporation who's got some food getting ready to go bad. You know, they need to get rid of it.
Wow. You know, one thing I've learned recently is that many times people are waiting for God to do something, maybe a big project. And I feel like the Lord was speaking to me recently, and it's like, what's in your hand? You know, so we put a greenhouse at our home, and we got about 3,000 square feet, a small microcosm compared to what you've got, but it's amazing how much you can grow in there. It's absolutely mind-boggling how much will grow in this greenhouse. It's interesting that someone came over the other day and they said, wow, it looks like an ark. And I thought, well, maybe it is.
Maybe it is.
You know, and I think that if more people would, and I was just talking about this at we have a Sunday night service here, and my topic was the ability of multiplication. And if you have a seed in your hand, say a tomato seed, that seed, let's say it's a cherry tomato seed, you can get easily 200 to 300 tomatoes. I mean, no problem off a plant like that, and it has about 50 seeds. So you're looking at potential. If one seed can turn into 10,000 seeds. And if you look at that times one generation of that one seed is 10 million seeds. But the problem is it's only one seed unless you plant it in the ground. But if you plant it in the ground, it multiplies. And I see so much an analogy about our life. You know, the Lord's waiting for us to plant our life in the Lord and die to ourselves and do what he wants and be obedient. That act of obedience in our life can multiply many, many times over in other people's lives, because you know, obedience can be, it can replicate other obedience in other people's lives. And I think just whatever it is God tells us to do can be that seed that can multiply in the ground, not only in our lives, and be fruitful in our lives, but it can be fruitful in other people's lives. And the seed's inside the fruit. So we have to have fruit in our lives if we want to replicate in other people's lives. And they're all looking for the real thing. You know, is Jesus real in your life? You know, and the fruit is what will tell, and it's what will replicate in others. So this is interesting how much I learned, and I'm sure you have as well, as you're becoming a farmer, of the analogies that God just teaches us out there in the greenhouse or out there in the garden as we're planting. The analogies just come to life, you know, as we're hoeing weeds, and he's speaking to us about getting weeds out of our life, you know.
You know, also, Andrew, all the world organizations will tell you that by 2025, which is only 9 years from now, 2025, 4 out of 10 people will not be able to find 1,000 calories of food to eat. And that's that. You know what that means? That's mass starvation. That's world war. There's a lot of trouble coming in the planet unless we find some food growers who are willing to either expand their capacity or start growing. Your 3,000 square feet will produce so much food. You can feed the community around you with that, especially with the technologies that are available today, and some of them that you're utilizing right now to get maximum yields out of that little square foot imprint or that footprint of space, you're getting massive amounts of food out of that 3,000 square foot garden. It is awesome.
That is awesome. Yeah. But it is only an idea. I mean, this whole thing has just evolved from one idea to another, where I thought about maybe putting a greenhouse, a small greenhouse. Well, the guy that came out to measure this thing built it bigger than I expected him to build it. And I look, and once he finished, I'm, what am I going to put in here? You just start with one seed. You start planting. I started planting a bunch of, you know, seedlings and put them in the ground, and pretty soon they're growing. I keep adding. And now the tomato plants are probably 10 feet tall and producing
tons of
tomatoes.
In how many months? How many months?
It's been about 3.5-4 months. Around Christmas time that they went in the ground. So since Christmas time, and here it is the first part of March.
Okay, so
they're 10 feet tall.
You're under 90 days, and you got a 10-foot tall tomato plant. Think about that, folks. 10 feet tall and just bearing fruit like crazy.
Yeah.
Wow. Wow.
It just shows you if our heart's the right soil, what can grow in us? You know, I mean, if the right and growing environment is right, I've never seen anything like this in my life. It's like a Garden of Eden inside that greenhouse. You know, it's been mind-boggling of what I've never been able to grow what I'm growing right now.
Yes. Well, and then we walk outside the greenhouse over to your outside tomato plants, and your fence posts are growing.
That's true.
Everything grows here. It's amazing.
Everything grows. Well, tell us a little bit more. We have a little bit of time left. Tell us about the website that you can go to see a little bit more of what you're doing. What's the name of the organization?
Well, if you just go out to Facebook, you can find us under Global Food Providers. And remember, we're just doing a 1-hectare prototype right now, but we plan to expand further in the future. And our real expansion is not going to be in what we personally build, although we will probably be building for a while. Our real expansion is coming now that we said yes and started doing this. The Lord brought what I think is phase two of his plan, which I didn't even see it coming. He hit me. He sideswiped me with this. But we've run across organizations that are building churches. They have church planters who are starting 200, 300, 400 churches a year. They are doing phenomenal things in India and around the world. And they have asked us to help them, to help teach church planters how to not only start a church, which they've already taught them how to do that, but to build a greenhouse to feed the poor in these poor areas of India, Africa, Afghanistan, Pakistan, all of that. So we now, this prototype is important.
Wow.
So that we can teach church planters.
How exciting. And again, your website too is drdanieldaves.com?
drdanieldaves.com. That's it.
Gosh, thanks, Daniel. Appreciate you being on the program, and thank you for listening on the program too. This is, again, our website is strength with the number 4, thejourney.com, and we'll see you next time.